Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Possible to bring down their greatest challenge. The world that confronted their God. And the instruction the Lord gave them. He said, walk round. On the seventh day, you will walk again seven times. And at the sound, at the shout, at the sound of the harp, you will give a shout of joy. The Lord instructed a shout of joy before they saw the wall come down. We are not talking about happiness. Happiness is what you exhibit or express after you receive the alert. After you see the wall come down. What they did after they saw the wall come down was happy. They were happy. It was happiness. But what they needed as a step of faith. I don't know what it is, Pastor Buki. God bless you for the message for first service. But you are confronted with whatever it is. I say you have come to your festival of joy. When the foundation of the temple was laid. In the records of Zerubbabel, Bible records that the people gave a shout of joy. It was so loud, it was so much that people outside that place could not distinguish. They didn't know if they were crying, if they were happy. If that is what joy is. Your joy will confuse your enemies. Your joy will confuse your confounders. Your joy will confuse every wall that has stood against you before now. In the name of Jesus. I want you to give a shout of joy. Joy is not dependent on anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody is still thinking, why should I shout? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to your festival of joy. In the name of Jesus. Please be seated. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you. Thank you for your presence. Lord, we ask that you speak to us. Let your word come with the demonstration of power and of the Spirit. We want to see you. We want to touch you. In the name of Jesus. Feed us till we are full. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I bring greetings to you from Pastor Benga Shafe. He's in the city of Abuja. I'm tempted to say he's enjoying himself, but he will come and say he wasn't enjoying himself, so it's okay. But it's been a glorious time. He's with the Apostolic Antioch. What's the name of it? Antioch Apostolic? Yes, Antioch Apostolic Church. I was following the program from Friday and, you know, I felt like I should have even been there. It's been a good time with all the ministers there. And he specifically said, I should tell everyone this morning that he misses church, he misses everyone. And he's saying hello to everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor Buki, God bless you. Pastor Buki touched on something this morning as she was teaching. And there was something she said that I actually wrote down. And that's where I'm going to be starting. She said, when you stop obeying God, you start seeing Satan. When you stop obeying God. And you know, it's so strange that our understanding of obedience is actually not God's understanding of obedience. There's something wrong with this mic. It's making it look like I'm breathing hard. I am not. I'm fit. Is it corrected? Okay, thank you. Thank you. I know I was not breathing hard. Hallelujah. Our definition of obedience is actually not God's definition of obedience. And for you to enjoy the fullness of joy, It's so strange how you think, how you cannot even link some things that God links. John chapter 15. Let's start from John chapter 15 from verse 9. Hallelujah. John chapter 15 from verse 9. I think I have so many things to say today, but I don't even know how to say, how to put them together. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Hallelujah. As the Father hath loved me, and this was Jesus speaking, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Go on, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. Verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you. What are the things he has spoken? There is just one instruction in everything that he has said. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Keep my commandments the same way I have kept my Father's commandment. Walk in obedience the same way I have walked in obedience. That my joy will remain in you. No, verse 11. I'm on verse 11 already. Hallelujah. That my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So you have your joy, but your joy is not full until his joy comes to abide in you. And there is only one instruction, only one commandment. The challenge with that instruction is, the instruction says obey, but the challenge with that instruction is you still have to obey that instruction. Hallelujah. And I was saying something, I said our definition or how we see obedience is totally different from how God sees obedience. If you know that obedience is crucial to the fulfillment of God's purpose in your life, if you know that obedience is crucial to your joy being full, maybe we will embrace God's definition of obedience. Hallelujah. If I drop a piece of biro on the floor and I say, Busayo, please help me pick my biro. A million and one things can happen between Busayo saying, yes, ma, and picking that biro. The human definition of obedience is that Busayo picks the biro and gives it to me. As far as I'm concerned, she has obeyed. As far as Busayo is concerned, she obeyed. Every witness here will say she obeyed. But that's not how God sees obedience. Because between when Busayo says yes and when she picks it, when you are now pastor wife, you cannot bend down and pick something again. Anyway, me too, we get there. In her mind, she has not disobeyed. But when you see the way God defines obedience, God, the final action is just the tip of the iceberg that everybody sees. It is not the solid. Hallelujah. Obedience is not just an action. Obedience is your life. It's a lifestyle. It is who you are. Obedience requires consistency. It is not something you do one-off. Hallelujah. So we're going to be looking at God's definition of obedience because we will all live here today with our joy being full. In the name of Jesus. When your joy is full, you can sustain any pressure that comes from anywhere. And that's what Pastor Buki was saying this morning. When depression rises, do you know sometimes you are even depressed and you don't even know why? You can't trace it. You can't trace the source of depression. Depression is a direct opposite of joy. Because even joy, you cannot say this is what is giving me joy. Sometimes you just wake up and you have so much joy in you and you can't even tell what is happening. Like Pastor will say, you probably have 1,252.55 kobo in your account. It marvels me how he mentions the kobo. But there's hardly any account that doesn't have that kobo. I don't know how the banks do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say your joy will be full today. In the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. For everyone who has come with a heavy heart. You don't even know why your heart is heavy. Sometimes you know. Sometimes you don't know. My heart was heavy last night and I knew the reason. Hallelujah. But for everyone who has questions, for everyone who has come with one burden or the other, you are going back with your joy full in the name of Jesus. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Can you give me this in Classic Amplified? Hallelujah. 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 Not in your own strength. For it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you. For your joy to be full, God understands that you need obedience, right? Now, let me tell you one truth about obedience. Obedience is not natural. There is nothing natural about obedience. You can never be obedient by your own powers. Have you not noticed that when you tell yourself throughout this week, I'm going to seek the face of the Lord, I will fast, I will pray five, I give you one day. The next time you remember is when you come back to church on Sunday and you say, this would have been the seventh day of my fast. Obedience is aligning with the perfect will of God. Obedience is walking in purpose. You can never achieve it by your strength. And so God takes his time to work effectually. Effectually, for me, is a combination of effectiveness and efficiency. When God combines the two together, just to bring you to that point where he makes you, you know, he brings you to the point of perfect alignment with him. And let me give you an example of God's working when we talk about obedience. Like sometimes God just tells you to do some things that really don't have any, there's really no reason for it. And I'm serious. God just tells you, shut down the TV. And then you're asking God, why? It's not like anybody, you know, sometimes you want to go for a party and children, I deliberately said you should wait for this service. So I need you all to pay attention, okay? I need you to pay attention because one of the tools the devil will use on our next generation is the tool of disobedience. And the devil will not have a hold on you. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So like I was saying, the workings of God, they are very simple. Don't think of it in big grammar. Do you understand? You know, sometimes God just tells you to do some things and God tells you don't go for a party. A party organized by Sister Yvonne, so you know that it's not worldly songs. God just says, don't go. And then everybody that goes for the party comes back safe. Nobody died. Nothing happened to anybody. So you're asking yourself why. It is God working on you. It is God working on you. The same way a potter picks a clay pot that he's making. And as he's molding, he's checking for the thickness. He's checking for the durability. He's putting it near fire to see if it will melt. He's putting it near fire to see if it can endure the fire. It is God working on your obedience to see how far you have gone. Now, let me tell you something, that it is not every time God tells you to give somebody money that he wants to bless you. Because many a times when you come to church and God says, give Sister Yvonne the 5,000 naira in your purse. Because you have a prayer request for some contract or some money, you already believe that that is the instruction for that blessing. It might not be. So when you get back home, Yorubas call it Siregun, you start asking God, so I've given her the 5,000, where is the blessing? And God is wondering, I didn't tell you to give her the 5,000. It is still part of God's working on you until you come to a point where the moment you hear his voice, the first thing you do is to yield. He will continue to work on you. And I'm not saying when God gives you an instruction to bless, don't expect blessing. I'm just saying sometimes God empties your account and it is for nothing. God tells you to give out your best clothes, and it is not because you are expecting a wardrobe of new clothes from talks and that and talks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is God's working on you to see how tender your heart has become. To see how that you can obey God even when it is contradicting your spec. Yes. Hallelujah. I know people don't like us going near that spec thing. I know. Because the moment you ask somebody, is it God's will? The person tells you, it's not my spec. There are two different things. Who gave you spec? Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. Please give me the Amplified. So we've spoken about God working in you. God working in you, and God is not sleeping on this work. God is continuously doing it until you come to that point where God can boast of your obedience. Until you come to that point where, like Enoch, you walk so much with God, and God looked at Enoch and said, this one has become God. He can no longer stay with humans. This one has obeyed me too much. He says he works in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire. The power. There is a power that is necessary for you to live a life of obedience. And please remember I said obedience is not limited to just saying yes to instructions. Obedience is when you are totally aligned with God. It is very difficult to do, but there is a power available for it. He told his disciples, he said, you will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And the book of Isaiah chapter 11 talks about the seven dimensions of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of might. Hallelujah. And there's one particular spirit that was emphasized. Give me Isaiah chapter 11. I think it's verse 2. Verse 2. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11. Shall I wait for you, media, or shall I go on? Okay. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And this passage gives an explanation of the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and of the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. Go to the next verse. And shall make him of quick understanding, and his delight shall be in the reverential and obedient fear of the Lord. So there is an emphasis on the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Why? Because for you to walk effectively in the other dimensions of the spirit, one of the spirit needs to be present, and that's the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Now let me tell you, the end product of the spirit of the fear of the Lord, one of the end products is obedience. And so when it says in Philippians 2 that God working in us, energizing us and giving us the power, that power is the power that comes as a result of the impartation of the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Because you cannot walk in obedience if you do not live perpetually in the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Like I said, there's nothing natural about obedience. There is nothing natural about it. If you try from now, and that's why you see that easily, you are given an instruction and the first thing that comes to your mind is to question it. Easily, the Lord tells you to do something and the first thing that happens to you is you are asking God, but really why? You are rationalizing. You are being logical about it. Hallelujah. If you don't live by the fear of the Lord, you will continually fall in and out of disobedience. Please go back to Philippians chapter 2. I remember something that happened to me January 2024. It was one of the times Pastor traveled, and I think I must have been praying, and then I slept off that night, and I had a revelation. I must have shared with one or two people before. And in that revelation, I saw an old man who came to me, and he said, "Now listen, for every new season or for every opening that you are looking up to God for, one necessary thing that the Lord will place a demand on is obedience to the instruction that comes for that season. Every season has a key, and that key is an instruction. And that instruction, for that instruction, it is necessary for you to live in obedience and full obedience." And I'm sure you've heard this severally, but I'm just reminding you that for every season to unlock, you need to seek the face of the Lord for the instruction. But the devil may not even stop you from seeking the face of the Lord for the instruction. The devil will come at the point of you obeying that instruction. That's why you see prophecies flying all over. People have so many prophecies flying above their heads. The devil will not stop you. The devil cannot stop God from speaking to you, but the devil can stop you from obeying God. So when the Lord gives you an instruction for your season, what the devil does is to wait at the point where he begins to push logic. He begins to push, logic to you. So I remember in that revelation, the man told me, he said, "Call Pastor Ayo for 7 nights and tell him to pray for you." For those of you who know Pastor Ayo, you know that that's already impossible, with all due respect to my father. That you call Pastor Ayo for 7 days. You call him today, he picks. You should share a testimony. You now call him again tomorrow, he picks. Ah. You now call him for 7 days. It's not like he doesn't want to pick, but he cannot pick. It's not like he doesn't love you. Now, one thing about my relationship with Pastor Ayo is Pastor Ayo answers my call. So when Pastor needs to reach him, he doesn't even bother. Pastor doesn't even bother. He just say, "Let me call Pastor Ayo, tell him this." So I believe, and the reason Pastor Ayo answers my call is because I don't call him for prayers. I call him to check on him. Do you understand? So he says it, that, when I see your call, I know you are calling to check on me. So he answers, because I don't put pressure on him. I don't put the burden of prayers on him. You know, somebody can be very burdensome sometimes. When you're like, "Hello, so I had a dream. In that dream, Goliath was chasing me. Then David took over. Then Samuel too said, so for him, there's this one person that calls, and consistently, she doesn't call to ask for prayers, even though in the long run, he prays. Because after we now talk, then he now starts checking on me. Then he says, and the Lord is telling me something, and then he prays. So imagine that, number one, he naturally doesn't answer calls. Then number two, he doesn't answer my calls because I call for prayer. Now God is telling me, call him 7 days and demand for prayer for the 7 days. So in that revelation, I told the man, I said, "I won't do it." I said, "Between you and I, this is impossible. And so I will not do it." And he told me, he said, "If you don't do it, the consequences are grave." It's like God has not threatened you people before. So I got out from that revelation. And the moment I opened my eyes, you would think that I would fall down asking for mercy, right? I still said I was not going to do it. Because I analyzed that instruction with my mind. I tried to reason it out. How can God tell me to do something that is naturally not possible? For God is spirit. God has nothing to do with the things we refer to as nature. And that is why when you throw tantrum with God, God is just looking at you and he's just irritated and wondering what you're doing. When you throw tantrum, I've done it before. Pastor Buki, God bless you for this. I was just remembering things. I've done it before, and I will come back to my stereo. I've done it before. We're in a very hot season in my marriage then. And I went into a room and I locked the door and I started crying. And I said, God, it is very obvious that you prefer this man to me. You love him more than you love me. And I was crying. And God spoke to me in the midst of the tears. But what did God say? God said, when you are done crying, let me know so we can talk. Hey. So I cried the more. This is now evidence that you actually don't love me. Because, you know, it took me having kids to understand that when children throw tantrum, you are just irritated. What is this nonsense? What do you want? What really do you want? I can't hear you. And that was what I was doing that day. And God told me, he said, when you're done crying, let me know, then we can talk. Ah. I cried the more. I shouted the more. But when I finished crying, I told God, okay, I'm done. Say what you want to say. And then the Lord said, I will teach you how to pray for your husband. And that was a turn in my life. So I was saying, I woke up and I told myself, I will not do this. Because for you to obey, go back to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It says, he energizes you and gives you the power both to will and to do. Obedience is in two facets, the will and the doing. The human definition of obedience is limited to the doing. But God is saying, no, there must be an alignment in your heart. There must be the willingness. You must be willing to do. When the Bible says the Israelites did not hearken to the voice of the Lord, hearken does not mean listen. Hearken means listening with an intention to obey. So God did not say they didn't listen, because most of the time they came back to do whatever he said they should do. But they did not listen with an intention to obey the instructions. So there is a will part of obedience. Now, the funny thing is that your will is located in your mind. And the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 7 says that your mind is always antagonistic of God. Your mind does not have what it takes to obey God. Your mind cannot. It's not like your mind does not want to. It cannot. And that is why God is working effectually on your will. Both to will. It starts first with your will. So I said I was not going to do it. Then I told myself. Then I remembered the warning. I remembered that God threatened me. That if you don't do it, the consequences are grave. So I said, okay, I will do my part. And then I will leave Pastor Yonah not to do his part. Then God will know that I did my part. So I called Pastor and I told him, I said, this was what happened. He said, okay, try it. Because even he, in his mind, knew it was impossible. So I called Pastor Yonah. I said, Pastor, he picked my call. As I said, Pastor, I said, you know, was something funny that happened. He said, hey, what? We gist a lot when we talk. We actually gossip sometimes when we talk. So he said, what happened? Then I told him, I said, can you imagine? God said I should call you for 7 days to be praying for me. I said, but I told God I'm not going to do it. I said, but I'm calling you so that you will know also, so that both of us will know that we are not doing it. Pastor, I said, God told you to call me for 7 days to pray for you. I said, yes, for 7 nights, not even days. Guess what Pastor said? Pastor, he said, starting tomorrow, I have organized a 7-night vigil from 11 to 12. He said, if God is telling you to call me for 7 nights, then after the vigil at 12, I will call you and pray with you. Then I said, wait, Pastor, wait. You organized what? He said, he actually sent a message to some people that he wanted to pray with them for 7 nights. I didn't know anything about it. I was not aware. It was starting the next day. And that was how we did it. So I joined the vigil. Immediately after the vigil, Pastor Yo himself would call me, pray with me over the phone, 2-3 minutes prayer, and that was it. And 7 days. And that year, and after weaving, the Lord told me, he said, this is what will happen, this, and that was what happened. That year, there was a major shift in my office. I would have been swept off. But everything the Pastor Yo prayed about was sustaining you, Nobody will take your place. You are retained. You know, you are preserved. And all of those things for 7 days. Now, what am I saying? Because your will, your mind can never understand God. Many of us live in disobedience because we try to rationalize the instructions and the will of God using the tool of our mind. You are trying to use a bicycle to travel from here to Abuja on highway. Your mind does not even have the capacity to obey God. Your mind cannot even understand God's instructions. But that is the same thing you want to use to analyze the instruction that God has given you. To analyze why God said this is the person you will marry. To analyze why God says this is the job you will have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so that is why God needs to deposit in us power through the spirit of the fear of the Lord for us to be able to obey. I think today, if you settle in your mind that you cannot obey by the power of your natural mind, then you have moved an inch in progress. Hallelujah. 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 I'm sure for those who have met me one or two times for career counseling, I must have told you how that God told me to go to First Bank, and see, even my mind doesn't have a word to describe the it was like that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Both to will and to do. We are still talking about the will. Verse 14 says, when you do all things without grumbling. Now, these are the enemies in the will. Grumbling. You think you are explaining to God. You think you are telling God reasons why you can't do it, but you are actually grumbling. Number one reason why the Israelites were destroyed. Fault finding. Everything the Lord has told you to do, there is always one reason why you think it will not work. Keep finding fault in it. Complaining. Some people have master's degree in complaining. God, when I did it the last time, you didn't do anything. God, if I do it, people will say, and God is wondering, what's my business with what people will say? Please keep that scripture up. And questioning, doubting among yourselves, telling God how, why, it won't work. Nothing will work. These are the things that the devil positions against our obedience. These are the things that the devil deposits in our mind that make it impossible for us to walk in alignment with God. It makes it impossible for us to walk like Enoch walked with God. Do you imagine how Noah survived? Can you even imagine it? When the Lord told him there will be rain and there had never been rain before, he didn't even understand what rain meant. But he obeyed building the ark and everyone called him names. That is the level of obedience we're talking about. It is not the wear white shirt. Yes, I appreciate that God can tell you sometimes wear white shirt. But most of us will brag about it. Can you imagine that even God tells me what to eat? Okay, God has told you who to marry. What are you still waiting for? It's short. It's short. It's too dark. I was telling someone, one of my very lovely darling ladies. I said, have you ever prayed to marry a man like Pastor Benga before? She said, yes. Then I said, I hope you know that when you pray that kind of prayer, what God will give you is the raw version of Pastor Benga, not the finished product you are looking at now. So before you pray, Father, give me a husband like Pastor Tope. Go and ask Sister Patience what Pastor Tope looked like in his raw state. You will see that his raw state is worse than the brother that is asking you out now. Because he says, I remember my Reverend Oduwole used to say that a lady came to him and said, Reverend, honestly, I don't like to disobey God. Though. If only God can tell me to marry somebody like you, I will obey without questioning. Reverend said, if God shows you who I was, and God even gives you 50K on top, or pays for the wedding. Reverend Oduwole said, I used to have a wound that never healed on my leg. I used to wear only one pair of trousers. I used to eat bully by the road. Don't let me tell you stories. If Pastor was here, I would have said it, but it's not here. So anybody praying that prayer, come and ask me what the raw state was. Because even then, I delayed in saying yes. I needed God to say over and over and over. So when he tells you that it took me 8 months to say yes to him, it was because I was telling God, I don't want. Yes. So before you pray, Father, give me a man like Brabimbo. Ask Sister Remy to show you pictures and tell you what the raw state really was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God works on us majorly on our will. If you can pass the test of the will, then the doing becomes a given. If in your heart, before the Lord breathes, you already catch it. If in your heart, before the Lord speaks, you already hear him. If in your heart, before the Lord leads you, you are already yielded. You are already submissive to his will. The doing will be the less, in fact, difficult. No, it won't even be difficult at all. But your will is important. Now, let me tell you why your will is important. Book of Jonah records that God told Jonah, right? Go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. And Jonah japa. Then God sent a fish. And God told the fish, pick him up. Is it not even funny how animals obey God easily? God told a donkey, don't go further. And the donkey stopped. Meanwhile, he had been telling his old prophet for over 24 hours, don't go. And the guy was telling God, no, you know, let's strategize. Let's do it this way. Let's do it that way. What if? God told a raven, feed my prophet. A raven is the stingiest bird that I ever knew. A raven has food and may not even give its own young ones. Then God put food in the mouth of a raven. It's just like God putting chicken in the mouth of a cat and saying, go and deliver it. God put food in the mouth of a raven and told the raven, take it to my prophet. And the raven took it. And the reason animal science has been able to prove, you know, sometimes science works along our line. Science has been able to prove that the reason animals tend to obey God more or easily is because they actually don't have the free will that men have. You see, this free will that we have, that we have not submitted to the Lord, is what is making us walk in disobedience. I lay before you life and death. Choose life that you may live. And then you think it is a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. Some of the instructions come and they look like they are suggestions. Hallelujah. And so God told Jonah, and Jonah refused to go. And God sent a fish to pick Jonah up. And the fish picked Jonah off. And immediately Jonah got into the belly of the fish, Jonah began to repent because he saw that this was the end. He began to repent. And guess what God did? God told the fish to vomit Jonah. Then after the fish vomited Jonah, God did not tell the fish to vomit Jonah in front of Nineveh. God now went back and said, Jonah, let's do this again. Bible records that God went back to Jonah like he did in the beginning and said, Jonah, I want to send you to Nineveh because your will is important to God. You must accept him in your heart. And so God went back to Jonah and told Jonah again, I want you to go to Nineveh. And then Jonah got up, accepted the will of the Lord, and went to Nineveh. So the fish was not free transportation to Nineveh. Why didn't God tell the fish to drop Jonah in front of Nineveh? So your obedience is not complete if your will is not involved. And that is why God is taking his time to work on your will. Hallelujah. 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 So for you to come into the fullness of joy, for your joy to be complete, there is a necessity laid on you to keep his commandments in your heart. To obey and walk by his precepts. To obey and walk in his will. He told the disciples in the book of Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to them and said, you will wait. Now, I told you, I said, for every season that opens in your life, there is a necessity, there's a responsibility that God places on you in the form of an instruction. So he told them, you will wait, and then you will receive power. If they did not wait, they will not receive power. The reason most of us treat the will of God like it is a suggestion is because we have not seen how that our lives are tied to that will. You think somehow, you can still make it. Have you not seen people who made just one silly mistake? And then years after, they are still recovering. God will forgive you. It's not like God will not forgive you. But years after, you will know that the error you made 7 years ago is what you are still praying for. You have not seen that your purpose in God, you have not seen that your life here on earth as a believer is nothing without Him. Let's talk about Elisha. 2 Kings chapter 2. Let's just start from verse 1. It's going to be a quick read. I'm already rounding up. Now, I brought up the issue of Elisha because Elisha had worked with Prophet Elijah for so long. He had seen how Elijah always lived a very risky life. Now, if you are a servant to that kind of man of God, you must always be with him, because the day you are alone, they will waylay you. So for him, he knew that nobody could kill his master. Many people had attempted and they couldn't. He knew that his master could call down fire. He knew that his master could call down legion. He knew that. And so his life was secured as long as Elijah was there. The moment God said he was taking Elijah, it became a threat to Elisha. Is it that I go with you or they will kill me here? In fact, his fellow prophets were already laughing at him because they knew the kind of death he would die. So for Elisha, he didn't have an option. This was a life or death matter. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. Elijah had lived so much. He had so many enemies. And even among the other prophets, Elijah had enemies. So if Elijah goes and Elisha stays, number one, nobody will take Elisha as their own servant. Number two, within 24 hours, Elisha will die. Somebody will kill Elisha. So for Elisha, the reason he was following Elijah up and down that day was not because he knew he had to either go with this man or something had to happen. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So the book of 2 Kings chapter 2 gives us the account of how Elijah kept telling Elisha, go there, God has sent me. And Elisha is saying, okay, the death that I will die today, don't worry, I'm not going anywhere, I will follow you. This God has come to carry you. Didn't he see that you actually have a servant? Is it like God wants me to die? So for him, he knew that he could not afford to die as the servant of Elijah. Because he had only two options. Either to die as the servant of Elijah, or to die bearing the double portion of anointing on Elijah. The only way he could live was if he continued in that path that Elijah had shown him. The reason many of us don't align and follow God's will or follow God's instruction is because we have not seen that necessity on us. And that's why Pastor Buki was talking today about, you know, battles in this world. You think everything you see is just natural. You think everything is just, you just go to the office carelessly. There was a time the Lord told me, don't eat anything in the office anytime you go. It was the very first day God gave me that instruction. I walked into the office, there was one nice brownie cake. It is that same day that the person the Lord has told you not to collect anything from, that the person will come and meet you and say, I'm giving you something. You have not seen that your life is dependent on the instructions that God gives you. You have not seen that for you to make it in life, your life is dependent only, solely on the instructions that God has given unto you. You think you have options. That's why we keep falling in and out, in and out. Today, you obey when it is convenient. Tomorrow, if it doesn't feel convenient for you, you just drop it. So Elisha knew he could either die as a servant of Elijah, and he would die within 24 hours. They were already setting trap for him. The other prophets were already telling him, your master will be taken today, because they all knew what would befall Elisha. But at a point, he told his master, I will not leave you. And then Elijah asked, what do you want? And he said, give me a double portion. The fear upon Elisha had aroused so much desire for power that he could not resist asking for a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Because it is only with the double portion of Elijah's anointing that Elijah will be able to cross back without being killed. And so we must all come to that point this morning where we know that obedience is not an option for us. It is a necessity. Will it be tough? Yes, in some cases. But is that what God expects from us? Yes. And so we will cooperate with the Lord this morning as he works upon our will, as he works upon us, giving us the power both to will and to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So there must be a desire in your heart to do the will of God. There must be a desire in your heart to live right. There must be a desire in your heart and just tell yourself, if I don't, my life is dependent on this. The consequences of disobedience are grave. You probably don't even know the things you have lost because you've been living in disobedience. If God opens your eyes to see every time you disobey his instruction or every time you disobey him, what you lose, you will come to terms with the fact that obedience is crucial for your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bible records that Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. If Enoch could do it, he didn't have the Holy Spirit. He didn't have the spirit of the fear of the Lord. If Enoch could do it, then you can do it. You can take your walk with the Lord to a next level. You can take your walk with the Lord to another level in God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please rise to your feet. I just want you to pray to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I'm yielded to your workings in my life. Bible records that God is working effectually in us. He's building in us the desire and the power to live a life that is yielded unto him. To live a life that is yielded unto him. To live a life that is yielded unto him. You must understand that living a life that is yielded is tantamount and is very important. It's crucial to your joy being full. It's crucial to you enjoying joy. It's crucial to you living in joy. It's crucial to you fulfilling the purpose of God upon your life. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, my heart is yielded unto you. My heart is yielded unto you. Lord, I'm yielding myself. I accept your workings in my life. Rekete kedebo jekete kete 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 kete. Embali kete bozukata balikata boshakataya. Rekete pele kedeboza. Embali kata boshandali kata basuntalia. Endele kete boshakata kata balakata basukataya. I subject my will to your will. I subject my will to your will. Let your will take precedence. Let your will take precedence. Let your will reign. I want you to begin to repent of every time you have murmured against the Lord, every fault finding, every complaining that has happened in your mind, begin to say, Father, I repent of every grumbling, I repent of every murmuring, I repent of every complaining against your will, against your purpose, against your instructions. Your mind is naturally not aligned with God. Your mind does not have the capacity to obey God. Your mind does not have the capacity to follow God. And that is why the Bible requires that we go through a daily renewal of the mind, a daily reinvigorating of the mind, a daily working on the mind. And how do you do it? The Bible says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Building up your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Be you to pray in the Spirit this morning. Rekatabo zukataya, ekadaba zukete, embelekedebo shekete. Lord, I open up my mind to a process of renewal. I open up my mind to a process of renewal. Lekataba shakatakata, embelekataba zukataya, lekotobo liketebo shekete. Begin to temper my mind to be aligned with you in the name of Jesus. I receive the grace to walk with you. I receive the grace to walk with you. I receive the grace to walk with you, Lord. Begin to say, Father, I refuse to walk by sight. I take every step in faith. I refuse to walk by sight, but I take every step in faith. I refuse to be led by my sight. I refuse to be led by my ears. Imbala kataba shakata balika dabo zukata. Rekete kete 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 kete. Kadabo shakete balika dabo zukata. The book of Isaiah, chapter 11 and verse 3. He says, and he says, by virtue of, and I'm paraphrasing now, by virtue of the spirit of the fear of the Lord, he said, he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, neither decide by the hearing of his ears. Many of us, we believe that our decisions are ours. The Lord, you have blocked the Lord out of your decisions. You make daily decisions, taking God out of your daily life. You believe that you can make decisions by yourself. But when you are led by the spirit of the fear of the Lord, you will no longer judge by your sight. You will no longer make decisions based on what you hear with your natural ears. I want you to begin to pray in the spirit today, as you yield yourself to the spirit of the fear of the Lord, that from this moment I refuse to be led by my eyes, I refuse to be led by sight, I refuse to judge matters by what the natural eyes can see, I refuse to make decisions based on what my natural ears can hear.